Yo, Amala Bonobi here. How you guys doing? What a fantastic Tuesday. Happy to be here with you. Taylor's here too.
What's going on?
No burn today.
Okay, fine, I'll give it to you.
Hi guys. I've had a fantastic weekend. I wasn't here live in studio on Monday because I was in Las Vegas traveling around doing things. Went to go see Cirque du Soleil, saw some comedy shows, got to see Tony Rock at the Laugh Factory. So I had a nice long weekend. Let me know what you guys did over the weekend in the chat down below. I am watching on my handy dandy iPhone, listening to what you guys have to say. Today, we are facing the ever-present problem of black hair. Am I oppressed because I have this massive fro on top of my head? Is Taylor not oppressed because he has straight blonde hair and blue eyes? Taylor, you demon. Just the good old head shake. Yeah.
I feel like I'm not allowed to speak in this episode.
Yeah,
so.
You know, I'm going to forcefully throw it over to you anyways. Oh, now, yeah, this is going to be the subject matter of today's show because MSNBC did a special, which was essentially a round table where they brought on different personalities and celebrities who all happen to be black women to discuss black culture, black women in culture. And they got to the topic of discrimination based on their hair in different ways where they've faced discrimination and racism in the workplace. Again, mind you, these are multiple black female celebrities who are talking about the discrimination and oppression that they've faced regarding their hair, makeup, etc. So we're gonna sort of explore this question. Can you be oppressed based on your hair? We know there is this thing called the Crown Act that got passed that said that employers are no longer allowed to discriminate against people based on their hair. This is the same for educational institutions. And I will say, there have been some stories that I've seen surrounding this issue that really piqued my interest, and I thought, well, that's wrong. We've heard of little girls going to school with their braids or with their dreads, often at private schools and things like that, and being turned away and saying, you know, you either need to cut your hair or take the dreads out or fix something, and you can come back to school. I have heard those stories on occasion. I'm not saying it's a frequent occurrence, but this is what they're positing. They're saying this is a frequent occurrence, something that needs to be faced, something that we need to talk about when we talk about black women in culture, their hair. So we're going to get into this, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to watch their discussion. And you guys let me know, have you ever faced this problem? Have you heard of this problem? If you're a black person watching right now, have you ever dealt with somebody who thought that your hair was unprofessional or bad hair, even though it's just simply natural black hair? Let me know in the comments down below, because I would love to know if you guys have any experience with this sort of stuff. Now, let's hear what they had to say on MSNBC.
Can we tell us today
the hair and the makeup?
Yes. We have all been in the struggle.
Seriously. All the black queens.
Yeah, how do we get our hair and makeup together? Back in the news business, your beautiful hair would not have been allowed even 5 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went renegade last year.
That's a really broad statement. How does she know that? Every single news organization would have turned her down because her hair is like that. And it looks beautiful, might I add, as Joy Reid already said. You know, I want to fact check on that, but you can't because she said 5 years ago these people would have turned you down. I don't know that to be true. I'm sure if we went through and scanned through all the different news anchors from the past 5 years or 5 years prior, we would find black women who have hair like this. But that's just me speculating. I don't know that to be true. So let's just assume for the moment that what Joy Reid said 5 years ago, that would have been unacceptable.
Started wearing every kind of braid style that you could possibly do.
I mean, you know, we can go 100%
every minute. And you know what I did? I'm going to tell you when I did it. Let me tell you when I did it. When that Crown Act passed in New York.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear all the different kinds of braids.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them up. I'm going to put them down. I'm
going to have a lot of
days. Going to go out on a limb here and say that Joy Reid could have done that anyway, but she saw this Crown Act get passed and had a need to virtue signal because of it, and then started doing her hair any which way she saw fit, which she could have done anyways. She's literally the headliner on her own show, The Readout. So I'm quite positive she could have made her hair in any sort of style she wanted and still had her name on that show. Would have looked really weird if MSNBC came out and said, Joy Reid braided her hair today, and now she's fired from The Readout. Wouldn't quite make sense, would it? And we always try to dramatize things. You know, we try to make it so dramatic. Somebody turning you away because of your hair. It's happening all the time. It's happening everywhere. All of us have been affected by this issue. Have you really, though? Have you really? I know this is anecdotal information, but I have never faced this problem in my life. I have never had somebody come up to me and tell me, my hair looks unprofessional. The same for my siblings. Never had somebody come up to me and say, my hair looks unprofessional and that I'm not dressed or made up for the situation that I'm in. But apparently, this has happened to nearly every single woman at this table, and they can all share in that oppressive experience, even though they're all famous women, either authors, activists, show hosts, or celebrity of some sort. And I'm looking at the table right now. They all have beautiful hair and makeup done. I wonder who the stylist was.
Put it in writing.
I went wrong.
One day, Joy had a whole situation. And this is how it always works, right? People text me like, yo, did you see Joy's hair today?
Literally. I worked on a show and that person shall remain nameless, but they are very famous. And he had it in his contract that if you were a black woman, he was not responsible for your hair. Mm-hmm. And this was a very famous.
Who was it? Tell us.
I cannot
name say.
Because the person powerful.
Just text it to us later.
Okay. I want to try to break this down logically. She said she was contracted by a very famous, powerful man who said he would not take care of black hair. Questioning it, but again, let's assume that it's true. Why would somebody do this? I can come up with one idea. So I happen to be half black, and I happen to have very coarse, what we call 4C natural hair in the black community. So when I go to get my hair braided or twisted or any of the styles that you see where my hair is down and braided, guess how much that costs? A lot of money. A lot of money to have somebody sit behind you and braid your hair for 6 to 10 hours when you go and get it done. Can you see why maybe an employer would not cover that? Now, if we're getting into the territory where white people are getting their hair done for the same price and the employer is covering that, we have a problem. That's something that's a little different. But still, we have to ask ourselves, is it okay for an employer to make a rule like that? At first, when I heard this, I thought, doesn't sound quite right. Doesn't sound quite right. And I actually mentioned this to Taylor, and he goes, well, it's their business. You know, a businessman or a businesswoman can do what they like and can hire who they like. You wouldn't look at a Mexican restaurant that hires all Mexican people to run it and to work at it and go, they're being discriminatory for not hiring a different race of people. You wouldn't do that with really any race that was opening up a business or opening up a restaurant of some sort. We have to decide what is the employer's right here as a business owner. Do they get to decide what hair they cover? Do they get to decide who they hire? And do they get to decide whether or not a hairstyle is not one that they would like to see in their particular business? Now, that's an issue that I go back and forth on, because when you hear it, it does sound like, sounds like a little bit of discrimination there. But when we give you other examples, we're totally fine with the employer making those choices. So what do you guys think? I want to put a poll down in the chat below. We've also done a poll on my community post. Do you think an employer should be allowed to make a decision like that for their employees and sort of decide who they hire? Let me know in the comments down below how you feel about it. Let's continue watching.
But for all of you, I mean, in every single one of our businesses, we've had to deal with our hair being fried, falling out of our hair.
Oh, my God, yeah.
To somebody who didn't know how to do us.
Yeah.
Couldn't sit in the thing. We couldn't have a black hair and makeup team.
Foundations, two shades,
darker.
Ashy.
Right.
When you're not a celebrity in this way, this is a new thing being thrust into the spotlight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you're like a social justice person.
Sure.
And they don't care how they make us look.
Correct.
At
Correct.
All.
Correct.
I have been in places where they've just handed me powder.
And probably the wrong color powder.
Oh, absolutely. Right. White powder. And I'm like, am I a clown? And
to me, it just sounds like you're dealing with a little bit of ignorance. You go to a makeup artist and you come with hair like mine, and they're used to straightening white hair, curling white hair, and then you're like, hey, I'm here. Can you do my hair? I imagine you're going to have a little bit of difficulty dealing with that. Now, What pains me is that we're even really having this conversation. It seems like the conversations around racism and discrimination have devolved into this little nitpicky things where we can't find actual extreme instances of racism, especially systemic racism happening, that we move ourselves down to things like makeup, things like getting our hair done. Conversations about microaggressions towards other people, because we are so devoid of that true hard, blatant racism that now having a makeup artist who's incapable of taking care of your skin or your hair is seen as racism. Now, is it something that's completely inconvenient and probably not a fun thing to deal with? Absolutely. I would never want to show up to a shoot and have the makeup artist be like, oh my gosh, you're too dark for anything that I have. I can't take care of you today. That would be a problem and maybe an inconvenience for me. Would I step outside and go cry racism about it? No, I wouldn't. I would go, hey, they weren't prepared for the particular client they had today. That's okay. I'm sure there are other makeup artists who would be totally prepared for that. And actually, I've never run into that situation. I know it's anecdotal evidence, but never run into that situation with anybody who is taking care of my hair or done my makeup. So we can acknowledge these issues. We can acknowledge these problems. We can acknowledge these inconveniences. But when we walk out and say that this is a culture built around holding down black women or not caring about them as much as we care about white women, that is a massive claim. A massive claim that you should probably substantiate with a little something more than makeup and hairstyles. And to have women all sitting in this table, beautifully dressed in designer clothing, makeup fully done, hair beautiful, and they're sitting and complaining about the different experiences they've had getting their makeup done and getting photoshooted and getting their hair done as celebrities. It is just so off base, and it screams out of touch to me. I don't know if you're feeling anything, Taylor, if you have any sort of commentary on this.
Well, I just, you know how we say with the race hoaxes and stuff, the demand for racism exceeds the supply. And, you know, is it inconvenient, like you said? Is it possibly insensitive or out of touch with some of the situations these women have faced? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the eagerness with which there's this this desire to cast oneself as a victim, to cast America or the country that we live in, the society that we live in, as entrenched with racism at every turn, it seems that they're very quick to jump on this and say this is evidence to support this broader narrative. And that's right. Really the problem is you're living your life looking for any opportunity to say, I'm a victim of this racism, and this country and its institutions and its people and its culture are just rife with racism. And really, I mean, you have Nicole Hannah Jones is at that table. You know, right. She's literally rewriting American history and the 1619 Project right. to recast America as racist. So they all have a stake in this race narrative, or they have staked a lot on that. And so, of course, you're going to, you know, the best you can come up with is the professional stylist at the TV shows that I work for were not adequately prepared to accommodate me or didn't treat me as well as they might treat other people, which you don't really necessarily know that. But the eagerness to just jump on the race narrative and the victim narrative is just, it's kind of telling.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
When all of these women have the power and status to literally go, I need a new makeup artist. I need a new hairstylist. They all are of status for the most part to be able to do such a thing. Yet here we are having these discussions. And I will admit, there is some truth to these things. Mm-hmm. If I sent my kid, my future kid, to a school and the school said, I'm sorry, your kid can't come in because she has an afro or dreadlocks, you better believe they're going to have a problem. They're going to have a problem. But am I going to go and cry racism about it? No, it's just simple ignorance. That is all that it is. And to think that an inconvenience like this can be just blown up into talking about American culture and a systemic problem, this is the problem. Because when we make it like this, we just move ourselves away from actually facing the issue, particularly with the makeup industry specifically. Makeup in the past, probably, 10 years has expanded for the women watching. I know this is not probably particularly interesting for men, has expanded the shades and skin tones that it covers. And that is a relatively new phenomenon. Is that a problem and an inconvenience that black people faced? Yup. If you look at pictures of celebrities from the 90s, the flash photography makes them look like ghosts. Of course. But is it a problem that we've solved? You better believe it, because guess what? Money. Black people are consumers too. So they're going to go, oh, you want makeup? I'm so sorry. We were not making the full shades for you, and that is a problem. Here you go. Which is why all these women have on beautiful makeup that matches their skin tone perfectly. So again, why do we keep complaining about these things? And it's just so crazy to me to see these women who are mostly, you know, the one percenters, people who they would cry out and say that they hate, sitting at this table complaining about the racism that they face like this.
And you have to be a professional makeup artist, professional hairstylist.
You already know this. I go on TV and I'm like, I look a damn mess. Like, what has been traumatized? And I'm supposed to have hair, and the hair is like that, and they done. I'm like, what? From 4 years ago.
That's right.
I'm gonna tell you this. The Time cover. I've never told a story. Mm. They called me 3 days before, and said, "Can you come in to do a photo shoot?" They did not tell me it was the cover. They said, "Bring a yellow shirt and a blue shirt out of my closet."
Wow. Mm.
No wardrobe, no nothing. So I grabbed the yellow shirt. I grabbed the blue shirt. I came downtown.
I had to take clothes from my own wardrobe and the whole table. The horror that you had to bring clothes that you bought yourself to a photo shoot. Now, again, is this maybe inconvenient? Sure. Is it evidence of racism? No, it's not. It is not at all.
Oh, Lord.
I came to the place, right? I'm just thinking it's going to be a little picture, like whatever. I get to the place. My braids wasn't fresh. Now, you know, come on. Come on, I had 3 days. I could have took my braids out.
Okay.
You also could have asked, hey, are you going to have a hairstylist there? Is somebody going to be there to braid my hair between, you know, now and the next 3 days so that I can prep for myself? Because I know you're asking me to bring my own wardrobe, so do I have to do my hair too? Might have been a logical question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like your lack of communication skills with regard to planning your own schedule and your own life. Like, it's a pretty big thing. I agree. Yes, you are going to be on the cover of Time magazine. So maybe be sure that you're communicating properly and understand what the expectations are for hair and makeup before you go.
And I can hear in the body language, there's a little bit of disingenuous energy here. Because didn't she just say, I thought it was going to be a little picture? You thought the cover of Time magazine was going to be a little picture? And when you showed up for the photo shoot, did they just surprise you and go, oh my gosh, surprise! You're going to be on the cover, actually. This is what the photo shoot is for. So did you think it was going to be a little picture, or did you know you were going in to be on the cover of Time magazine? And if you're being disingenuous there, what else are you being disingenuous about?
My braids wasn't fresh. My braids was always fresh.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I would have freshed them myself.
Right.
I get to the place. I get there. I just take the shoot like normal. They make this the cover of freaking Time magazine.
But Toronto, can I just say though, I think what I think people misunderstand is that this is not
vanity.
It's not a diva moment. It's the fact that as Black women, every single thing about us is politicized.
Right. Yes.
I'm sorry. Can you give me an example? I'm so sorry. There are so many in the past 3 minutes. So many major claims have been thrown out. We're talking claims about newscasters and their hair. We're talking claims about major media institutions not being willing to take care of Black people. We're talking about claims of contracts that write out that they will not take care of Black hair. We're talking about every single thing about Black women being politicized. Can you please give me another example of something about Black women that has been politicized? I am so very curious, because here I am looking at my skin color. It's not white. It's a little darker. It's a little browner. I have not been politicized. I can't think of a single instance where Black women, or my Black body, as they like to say, has been politicized. What right or privilege does Taylor have that I don't? Where am I being politicized where he's not? Can you answer that? Because they say things. It's the confidence for me, as I say. So much confidence being thrown out at this table. So many mms and yeah, girl. Oh, yeah, my braids are always fresh. Okay, but where's the racism part? Can you explain that to me? Please, I beg you.
And criminalized, right? As we were having this conversation about Black hair, and I know everyone keeps saying that we're in the midst of a national reckoning. You know, I'm still waiting for that. I think, honestly, what I think is more...
Waiting for what?
Accurate is to say that we've been in the midst of an awakening.
Let's just pause. Hold on, I gotta keep pausing. I just want you to take in this moment and look at this table of women who are all having this conversation on MSNBC, one of the major news networks in our country. I'm seeing a girl with an afro. I'm seeing a girl who's bald. I'm seeing a girl with red hair. I'm seeing a girl with weave. I'm seeing another one with weave, or that's her regular hair. Doubt it. And I'm seeing another girl with relaxed hair. All different hairstyles, while they're all sitting at this bourgeois table with their different glasses and their champagne and their multiple plates and all the different silverware around them, and we're complaining about oppression. This is amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And this is only a conversation that could truly take place in the United States of America. This is only a conversation that could take place in the United States of America, where you are free and privileged enough to sit at a table that's decorated with flowers and gold and champagne with your other fellow black creators and black celebrities and cry out about racism. Only in this country. And you are privileged and lucky to be sitting at this table having this discussion about your hair and makeup.
Reckoning,
right?
But the reckoning for me will be when we codify the value of black lives in our budgets and in our policies.
Do you mean like with the Civil Rights Act? I'm so sorry. Did we forget that happened? Where we literally codified the value of black life. That was back in the 1960s. Are you saying that we have another Civil Rights Act that we need to write out? And again, what's the right or privilege that somebody like Taylor has that I don't have? Or that these women don't have? Where is the codification of black lives needing to be had? I am so utterly confused, but that's what they want you to be. Because I guarantee you, if we just let this keep going and nobody speaks out about it and nobody contradicts it, 10 years from now, the same conversation will be had with a different group of black female celebrities sitting at their table, and next time it'll be a gold table. that is, you know, sculpted just for the moment to have this discussion about racism. That's where we're going to be in 10 years right now. If nobody calls this out and goes, I'm calling BS on you. You're not making a claim. You're not substantiating the really audacious claims that you are making during this discussion. And you're expecting me to somehow feel bad for you. No way.
Okay. And so, you know, we recently passed the Crown Act.
Yep.
This is those applause are for the fact that I was able to.
It was banning what? What was, can you explain the Crown Act again? I'm going to go back. I want to hear her explain what the Crown Act is again.
We've been in the midst of an awakening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the reckoning for me will be when we codify the value of black lives in our budgets and in our policies.
That part. Okay.
And so, you know, we recently passed the Crown Act.
Yep.
This is those applause are for the fact that I was able to keep my...
Race-based on what? Race-based on what? Because I just got a lot of applause for you not even explaining what the Crown Act is. And for those of you who don't know, we're going to come outside of this video for just a second, and we're going to go to their website. So this is the Crown Act website. Look at that big Dove logo. Look at that big corporate virtue signal right there. This is basically sponsored and funded by Dove, the corporation. And it essentially posits, this is an act that says you cannot be discriminated by an employer or an educational institution for your hair. So if I brought my little future kid to school and she had dreads in, they can't go, you can't come to this school because you have dreads in. Okay. And same thing for employers. Employers can't discriminate based on your hair. Now, there's ins and outs of this. It's not a particularly bad act to pass or something to put into law, but again, it brings into discussion, what is an employer's right? Do employers have the right to turn away people who they see to be unfit for their business? Or could you now turn away a black employee and get sued for discrimination? And what are the ins and outs of this? What proof do you have that somebody has discriminated against you? When I was a kid, right, I was told that if somebody walked up and asked to touch my hair because they'd never seen curly hair before, they'd never seen an afro before, that was a microaggression. And a microaggression is racism. That is a sign of racism. Even Disney Plus made a series about microaggressions for kids. And they showed a little girl and they said, you know, I want to touch your hair, and had a big afro or whatever. And they said, stop. That's a microaggression. So that's a form of racism. Is that happening, a form of racism? Is that something that you can call the Crown Act on if you don't get the job afterwards? So we have to really draw the lines in the sand of where this happens. And like we said before, is a Mexican restaurant being discriminatory for only hiring Mexican employees? The same for an African restaurant or an Asian restaurant, which we so typically see, especially here in LA. Is that discriminatory? And if not, if you're saying no, they have the right to do whatever they want and to hire whoever they want, why is that not the same when it comes to people's hair? I certainly, if I owned a business and somebody came and applied and they had blue, green, purple hair, and I'm like, you know, I don't really want you working at my front counter with that hair. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to reject your application. Is that discriminatory? Am I going to get in trouble for that? Or let's say I work at a factory and somebody with really long braids walks in and I'm saying, I'm so sorry, this factory is dangerous. You're going to have to either cover your hair and put it up, or you're going to have to change the hairstyle that you have. Is that discriminatory? Is that racist? Am I then going to see fines or a lawsuit for saying that to a person? We really have to figure out what that is, because I can certainly see a number of SJWs going and applying to jobs and hearing that back and going, racism, racism, racism. And that's what happens when we make things about race and not about education, not about alleviating ignorance. We simply cry white supremacy every single time. And, you know, I'll mention this just for the sake of it. Dove, which has sponsored this act, is owned by Unilever. And Unilever is a massive supporter and partner for the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. So who are we really aligning our values with? Just a question. Just a question. Now, let's finish up this video here, if we can.
My composure. For the many offensive things that were said, a person across the aisle referred to this as the bad hair bill.
And she is absolutely right. Somebody on the Republican side of the aisle, I won't mention who because we try not to mention politicians, did refer to the Crown Act as the Bad Hair Act. Is that a no-no? Yeah, that's a no-no. It's probably not right to look at an act like that, that is supposed to be protecting hair like dreads and braids and you know, Bantu knots, what are normal hairstyles for Black people and people of color, and go, that means it's a bad hair act. Nobody's defending that statement. And again, what is it a statement made out of? Ignorance. That's all it is ignorance. And when we just use this time to demonize, instead of educate or decide what we believe is going to help our society function best, when instead we use our time to cry about it and to say, oh, poor me, I face so much discrimination in this industry where I now have my show and I'm the host of it, and I'm now an activist who writes books that make millions and millions of dollars teaching white people how to educate themselves or teaching them how racist they are, it looks a little off. It's a little bit, you know, a little bit tone deaf, if you ask me.
You know, which very much makes the case for the very thing that we're talking about. So the thing is that people get it wrong when they think that the Crown Act is just about hair. The Crown Act is about white supremacy. Okay? How I show up in the world is disruptive in and of itself, you know. Shout out to the 7 million people living with alopecia, disproportionately Black women. I have alopecia totalis, and, you know, I thank God for my husband, who in the midst of that, all that loss, reminded me that I don't need hair to rock a crown.
Yeah. I made my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, watch that video.
Okay, I think we're done there. Yeah, did any of you watch this and go, oh my gosh, I hate their hair. It looks so unprofessional. I would never let that person into the workplace. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, no, you didn't. And when she talked about the politician who called it the Bad Hair Act, she said that very much makes the case for what we're talking about today. No, it doesn't. The actions of one individual do not make the case for you claiming we have a systemic problem in this country. And this is where everybody seems to get confused about systemic racism, because I see leftists cry about it all the time. America's systemically racist. You're oppressed because you're Black. I'm oppressed because I'm Hispanic. I'm oppressed because I'm this and that and that. Where? Who? Give me the example. Give me the law that says you're oppressed because of this. Give me the privilege that you don't have. Well, oh, a Republican once said that the Crown Act is a bad hair act. I'm so sorry they said that. Not the coolest thing to say. Something said out of ignorance. But I said the word systemic. Can you get back to the systemic part and really explain the system and institution that is holding you back? Because so long as people live, there will be ignorance. And there will be certainly things that people just don't know or are unaware of. And they will verbalize those things. And sometimes it will offend you. Sometimes it will make you feel bad. Sometimes it will make you feel misunderstood. But is that evidence of a systemic problem? No, it is not. I bet you I could go and travel and find somebody who hates biracial people and would call me a mulatto or a mutt or something like that. And I would look at that person and go, well, that sucks for you. You're so ignorant. And that's actually really funny that you look at somebody's skin color and you make a judgment based off of what you can only see on the surface of somebody. It must be really sad to lead the life that you live. And what would I do? I would go on about my day. I wouldn't go pass a bill that says that nobody in the world can say that word anymore. Because it would just be an experience that I had with a particular individual and no evidence of a systemic problem. This is where we get everything wrong. And unfortunately, this is what MSNBC is choosing to put on their channel. And the title of this is The Culture is Black Women. What does that even mean? Can somebody please explain it to me? And black people will, by and large, black leftists, I should say, and the extreme ones will say that all the culture is stolen from black people. No, it's not. And it's this idea that you have to put yourself in a box to believe one thing and nothing can be shared and there can be no ignorance. And if there's ignorance, it's racism. That is completely deteriorating our society and deteriorating the bond that we should have as fellow Americans. MSNBC could have done this wonderful segment about educating about black hair. These are the different hairstyles you can have. This is why we do certain black hairstyles. These are protective styles for our hair, in case you didn't know, in case you just thought it was bad hair, unprofessional. This is what we do. What a wonderful bonding moment that would be for people who know nothing about it. I was raised by a white mom who looked at my hair and was like, I have no idea what to do with this. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to make it look right. And I dealt with that for much of my young life. But guess what we did? We learned. We educated ourselves. And we moved on about our days. I didn't cry racism. But that's the move these days, is to just cry racism. And Taylor is the oppressor with his straight blonde hair.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for my existence is violence, and this room is no longer a safe space just because I'm present in it. I did want to mention here, I noticed when she invoked the statement of that senator or whoever it was who said, you know, this is the bad hair bill, she said it as though that is the mainstream view of everyone on the right. And that's right. A common tactic. It's I've heard of the term nitpicking, which is you take an extreme example of something that no one would agree with and then say, everyone who I disagree with agrees with that. And you try to frame it that way.
Yep.
And that's how people who are invested in this America systemically racist, or all conservatives are racist, or a white supremacist, all this stuff, tend to use this tactic to say, okay, this bad thing happened January 6th or, you know, Charlottesville, and everyone who's on the right agrees with this. And it's always like a one-way street. They don't bring that same energy to the Kenosha phenomenons, and they're not consistent. And ditto for, like, people could say that if you think about, like, libs of TikTok, oh, is that nutpicking because they're taking extreme examples of gender ideologues? Maybe, but the difference is all mainstream leftists don't condemn the things that are seen in libs of TikTok. So
right.
I just think that's, like, an interesting thing going on right now, that the people who are so invested in these narratives and seek to control them use this tactic a lot, and it's important to see through it, but also to see the incongruency with how it's applied.
Right. And we sit here, and on whoever the politician they are talking about, we're probably on the same side of the aisle with them on most social things like that. But here we are denouncing the fact that that person called it the Bad Hair Act. And that's what you have to do. You have to come and say, oh, well, no, obviously I disagree with that. And like Taylor said, they never do that. We show these extreme videos of people talking about how they want to indoctrinate kids, or they want races to be separated, and black graduation and white graduation and all this crazy stuff. And we go, are you guys going to denounce that? You guys going to say that that's wrong? No, we support that message. This is our ideology coming in full force. This is the conclusion of our ideology once it is implemented. And these conversations cannot keep going. Like, I can't imagine what is going to be the racist roundtable conversation that we're having in 10 years. I cannot imagine what it is going to be. Because if now we're talking about hair and makeup, what is next? Is it the Band-Aid conversation again? Is it the one where we talk about how soap dispensers don't work for black hands? There's always going to be something. And they will use what are blatantly misleading statistics to back this up. I went to the Crown Act website, which is basically just a big sponsorship for Dove, and they're writing out all these statistics about how many black people experience this sort of discrimination. Listen to this stat. 66% of black girls in majority white schools report experiencing hair discrimination, compared to 45% of black girls in all school environments. You're telling me 66% of black girls have experienced hair discrimination? And what does that look like? Because I imagine if I go and look at the survey that made this statistic, it would say something like, has a white student ever asked to touch your hair? And that would be racism. As I told you it was when I was a child, and how I told you it was when Disney Plus made their video about microaggressions. In that video, they said they had this young child who had a skin tone much like mine. And the mother comes up to pick up that child from school, and the mother happens to be black and a little darker than the child. And the kid goes, "Wow, your mom's a different color than you are." And the video freezes, and Disney goes, "Stop! That's a microaggression and a sign of racism." So if that's racism, what else is racism? Because it seems like genuine curiosity about someone else's culture, their hair, their skin tone is now a sign of racism. And the same people who tell you, you know, we need to have discussions about racism and educate people, and we need to talk about our race in order to get through this world, the second you ask them a question about it, about their hair, about their parents, about their skin tone, they start crying racism again. So what is it? Are we meant to be a colorblind society that doesn't talk about race and just views everybody equally? Or are we meant to be the society that cannot help but talk about race at every single corner we turn, even in the makeup aisle, even when we're getting our hair done, even when we're about to star on a show that we own with our name on it on MSNBC, we are meant to talk about race? Which one is it? Fill me in the comments below, because I'm very confused with the arguments that you're making. They seem to contradict each other. And I would urge you all to go and look through this Crown Act website and look at it. Now, if I thought that it was truly a systemic problem, that black people at every corner were being turned away from jobs because their hair is the way that they were born with, we'd have an issue, maybe. We'd have something to be concerned about. But is that the case? No. And the left is doing now what they do so brilliantly. It's taking one instance that looks bad or actually is bad and going, "We have a patterned problem here. I am seeing this time and time again in our society of white supremacy and racism, and we must fix this. Here's a bill. Here's a law. Here's another piece of legislation to pass. And here's some progress that we can make for black lives. We are codifying the value of black lives as if it's not already codified." And this will continue, so long as we do not call it out. So that is what I've done today. And just to point out the contradictions here, here is an article, and I'll just read you the headline. Two-story black power hair pick, a symbol of African identity, was erected in Gallier Hall. This is in New Orleans. Look at this massive statue. Look at this massive statue. What is this? This is not only a hair pick, an Afro pick for black hair. It also has a black power fist at the very end of it. How much more of a celebration of black hair and black style could you possibly get than a massive two-story statue posted up in an American city? I don't know how much further you could possibly get. As I always say, the best thing to be right now in America is a black woman. The absolute best, most celebrated thing you can be in this country right now is me, a black woman. It's those ladies all sitting at their table with their gold-rimmed champagne glasses and their nice silverware and their flower arrangements. That's the best thing to be right now. They're all millionaires sitting there talking at this table going, girl, all this oppression. And then they're going home from this shoot and taking off their beautifully done makeup, putting down their fantastically done hair, and sitting in their mansions, thinking of more things to cry about on their next TV show. So let's just bring a little levity to the subject matter here and address that, yes, if an employer was blatantly going, you know, I'm not going to hire black people simply because I hate their hair and I think it's unprofessional, that wouldn't be a person that I would like. It wouldn't be a person that I would be friends with. It wouldn't be a person that I would take to. Is it their right to do that, though? That is the question. Is it their right to do that? And you can answer that for yourselves. You can come to your own conclusion on that. On the community post that I put out on YouTube, you guys had mixed reactions. So I asked you, do you think employers should be able to ban styles like this from the workplace? And comment your full thoughts below. So far, let's refresh here and see how many of you have voted. 5.4 thousand of you have voted. 59% of you said yes, employers can do that. It is their private business that they own. 28% of you said no, that's discriminatory. And 14% of you said, I don't know. I would love to hear from the rest of you who haven't answered this question yet, and go comment your full thoughts down below. I'm leaning towards yes, it is their business, because I gave you other examples, and those are examples that I would be totally fine with an employer hiring whoever they want. And I think if we're going to have that view there, we should have that view here, just for consistency's sake. Is it unfortunate? Is it inconvenient when it happens? Yes. But is it happening in a systemic manner? No, baby. No, it is not. So let me know your thoughts on this. Again, have you had any experiences with this problem? Have you heard of families that have had experiences with this problem? Friends, peers, anything you can think of. I would love to know more about it down below, but I certainly don't want to hear it from MSNBC. So if you guys like this show, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. That is 3 p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern. And if you're looking at what I'm doing right now and you're like, that's pretty cool, I have conservative values, I would love to do the same thing that she's doing right now, you might have the opportunity. PragerU is now doing a casting call that you can apply for. Go to PragerU.com or check out our Instagram for more information about how you can apply to possibly be the next me, be the next Will Witt. And you guys can eventually, hopefully, if you get called, come to PragerU, film your story, get the experience of working here and actually being a PragerU personality. We are looking for a new young buck in the conservative movement to come forth and share our values. So that could possibly be you. Again, go to PragerU.com or go to PragerU's Instagram for more details on the casting call. Guys, we would love if you guys would go and put in reviews on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. The leftists are coming for me. We need to boost it up. Getting a lot of hate mail. You'll get a lot more videos of me going through that and sharing that with you. Because, you know, what is hate if it is not shared, as the left would say? Guys, thank you so much for watching. Again, comment down below. Have you experienced this problem? Do you know anything about the Crown Act? And have you met anybody who has had this particular problem? I will see you guys tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific. Bye, guys.